I hope all of you can hear me. But when we talk about the words that God uses, the word that Christ uses and the Holy Spirit uses, they're very important. And when the word keys is used, there's a great deal of meaning to that, meaning that will help us to understand how serious the Word of God is. And so for a few minutes this morning, we're going to talk about keys. Now, when I talk about keys, I'm going to be talking about principles that you already know. You know everything about keys. You've dealt with them all of your life. But we're going to make a couple of spiritual applications. That's what, when Christ is talking about it, that's what he's talking about. So if you will for a second, every time, this is one of those things you know, every time when you see a key, you know there is a lock. The lock's not mentioned in, as such, but you know there's a lock. I have in my pocket, I have a couple of keys that are a little bit strange looking. When I'd lose one, we used them for years and years. When I'd lose one, I'd get a flat blade off of some saw, and I'd just file me another one. I could make them for myself. But I know where the lock is if that key fits. That lock is in Ralston, Oklahoma. It's in the house we raised our boys in. It was built in 1903, 2 years before statehood. And it fits that lock in that door. Where there is a lock, or where there's a key, and you see a key, and you're handed a key, you know there is a lock to fit that key. That's known. That's true. That's exactly what Christ is trying to tell us. Now, if it's true that there's a lock, I want to know more about that lock, and I want to know about those keys that Christ is talking about. And the reason is because I want to go to heaven. And when I get to that gate of heaven, and when I stand before that throne where I'm going to be judged, if there's something about these keys I need to understand and know, I want to know it. Now, if you will, for a second, I want you to, we're going to start with a verse, and I want, you can look it up if you like, but I want to start with it because we're going to need it all morning long because it has to do with that lock. It's found in Psalms 119 and 89. Very simply, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, from other things I've read in the New Testament, that's Psalms 119 and 89. From the other things I've read in heaven, I know that word was settled not only in heaven, it was settled before the laying of the foundations of the earth. It was a long, long time ago before the beginning. It had to do with that. It had to do with things that God established and made there, made sound, made permanent, solid, before this world was ever created. Now, that's important. And the reason that is so important is that's because as we're going to study this morning, you're going to see that the keys that I am creating have to fit that lock. And it's not going to change for my benefit. They have to fit that lock. Okay? All right. After God gave those keys, gave that lock, or made that lock as it is, established what His truth is, after He did that, He handed that to Christ, and Christ gave it to the apostles, and the apostles have left it for me. Those have to do with the keys that I have to build to enter heaven. Now, if you don't mind, Christ is telling me that keys are involved, and I'm going to need to have them when the time comes. So I want to know something about those keys. Now, to do this, first of all, we're going to go back to the judgment. And I'm going to come at it from two different directions. There's a lot of verses we could use, but I'm just going to use a couple on both sides. One has to do with commandments. That's that lock. That's what's there. That's what God gave. He gave me commandments. And then the other side of that is the work that I do. Every commandment, every instruction from God has some sort of labor or work or some kind of effort that is involved in that. I don't care what the commandment is. There's something, and he said to Abraham, you go. All right, that's fine. That was established. Abraham has got to go. Okay? That's the labor involved in it. That commandment is set. what I am creating in my own life, those keys to fit that commandment and unlock that door to heaven, those are in my life and they're not done yet. That's why I work on them so diligently. They are not finished yet, okay? Now, I want to take you two places. First of all, we're going to go to the judgment in terms of the commandments. And I want you to notice something about them. Go to Matthew 19:17 with me. Matthew 19:17. It reads like this. You get the right? 19:17. This is the rich young ruler coming to Christ. It's one of the statements Christ makes to him. And he said unto him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. If you will enter into life," talking about going into heaven, aren't we? We're talking about eternal life. "If you will enter into life, you keep the commandments." Now, I want to go from there. That's what he said. That's what's good. That's what you have to do to go to heaven. I'm going to go from there to the last page of the Bible. Matthew 22, verse 14. It reads like this. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city." They have a right, if they have done those commandments, they have a right to enter that city. Now, I want you to notice something about those commandments. That's different about the works we're going to read about in just a minute. Those commandments are done throughout life. Those commandments have to be kept. Those commandments have to be, that's part of my life as I keep them before I stand before that judgment seat. Now, I want to read you about some verses that have to do with the works. Now, that's the lock. That's the lock. That's part of what God did. What I am creating in my life, the keys that have to fit that lock, as I create those keys, I'm going to read that to you now, and we talk about that in terms of my works, okay? All right, so go into Matthew 16:27. Matthew 16:27. Reads like this. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works." And when he comes, when I stand before him and those works are looked at, it's too late, isn't it? I'm not keeping commandments anymore. I have done it. That is a body of activity, a body of works that are with me, that I carry there. One of the scariest things I have ever read in my life about the Hadean realm where people wait for judgment. It's talking about certain soldiers that are there, and laying with them and beside them are the shields and the swords that they use to destroy with. I know they would like to hide those. I know they would like to get away from them. But they cannot. And that's the picture that's being laid in the Old Testament about that. It's scary. I'm going to have my works beside me, and there's nothing I can do about that. They're going to be right there with me. That's the seriousness of what we're talking about. I want you to go to another verse. Go back to Revelation 20. And we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Revelation 20, verses 12 and 13. We're at the judgment. God is on the throne. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Now watch carefully. Got another verse to read. "And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." And you know what's happening? The locks are set. We're not talking about keeping the commandments anymore. That's what we were supposed to do through life. Now I am in the judgment, and what I have with me is my works, the keeping of those commandments, and whether or not I did it. That's how serious this is. Okay? Now, I want you to understand before we leave this, we've got two or three things we're going to look at that have to do with keys. But before we leave this, I want you to understand that lock is set. I want you to think about it in terms of, if I put it in modern language, what God has set is the tumblers and the lock. Those tumblers are set. I have to make a key in my life that will fit that tumbler. All of us are familiar with that. Every one of us realize that's true. Every one of us realize when I have a key, it has to fit the... For instance, if I told you this morning, I left my car key in my car, you would say immediately, don't worry, I've got a car key. You wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't say that. Because you know that does not matter. It does. You have all the car keys in the world that you want to have. I have got to have the key that fits that hole. That's what we're talking about, okay? Now, there's a couple other things we need to get to, and one of those has to do with keys are made to keep people out. You know that. You know when you left your house this morning, you locked your house. You know exactly why you locked your house. You locked your car probably when you got out of it. Keys becoming a little different, but you locked it. When we got to church this morning and when we do other things, we realize that those things are protected by that lock that we put on that. Keys are made and locks are made to keep people out. That is just, we're talking about keys. All God did was just use the word keys. But all of this is implied within keys. Keys are also made to let people in and let them enter. Okay? Now, I want you just for a second, I want you to go back with me to Judges 3. Judges 3. And I'm going to go back now. We don't have time to deal with the story. But I'm just going to read you a couple of three verses. This has to do with old King. See, his name was Ehud, is the man we're talking about. Eglon was the king of Moab. All right, I just want to read you two or three verses. Verses 23 and 26 in Judges 3. 23 and 26 through 26. Ehud went forth through the porch, and he shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. And when he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he's covered his feet in the summer part chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and their Lord was fallen dead on the earth, and Ehud escaped while they tarried. Now, the Holy Spirit and Christ were both present when that happened. They were watching over Israel back in the days of the judges. They're very aware of what happened. They know what keys are all about. They know how they're used. They watched Ehud do that. And he locked those doors, and then when the servants came, they were locked. They couldn't get in. Well, the king must be resting. And when they began to be concerned about that, they opened those doors with a key, the key. They opened those doors with the key, and they went inside, and they found the king dead. Ehud had killed him. Now, I want you to go with me now to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. This is about the Holy Spirit and Him choosing words to use. And we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, which we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. The Holy Spirit chose the word keys to use in the writing of the Bible. Christ, when he referred to keys, said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. From our reading this morning, and we won't go look it up again because of time. But as he looks at that, and he looks at that, he knows exactly what keys are. He knows what he's talking about. And you and I are responsible for having some keys ready on that day. That's what's so critical about this. I want to try to use something to try to help you understand that a little bit on a spiritual sense. As we would drive to church in Fairfax for me to preach for the last 50 years, the last 20 of it, we lived here in Tulsa, and we drove past a congregation of the Lord's people in the process of that drive. We had several people in our congregation that were very familiar with individuals in that congregation, and we would hear things about them. We would hear about the ladies who were leading the prayers and ladies who were doing the singing and ladies who were or leading the singing and other things that were going on and things that to each of us sounded out of place. Now, I want you to go with me to a scripture, and I want you to read it with me, and we're going to look at it carefully. Looking at what we're studying this morning and what we're looking at, okay? All right, go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And I'm going to read with you verses 34, 35, and 37. Now, what these verses are talking about is what God has established in heaven. What is there already? He's talking about those commandments that we've been given. Okay? What I was hearing about something that was going on, that has to do with those people's works, what they're creating. Okay? All right. Beginning with verse 34 in the 14th chapter, it reads like this. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted for them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. It's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. I'm going to skip 12 words to get to the next verse. 12 words. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I'm writing to you are the commandments of the Lord. You understand what we're talking about this morning? That's God's commandments. This is what I am doing. And I want you to imagine just for a moment that I'm in the judgment and I'm standing before God and I'm that careless with God's will and I'm standing there and the keys that I have created, the works that I have there with me, those have to fit into those commandments in His lock. I'll tell you one thing, I won't ever be guilty of that because I'm scared to death of trying to use those keys to go in that lock. It isn't going to work. It's just as simple as that. And you and I can become careless about some things, and we need to be very careful about that. Because we are creating keys that have to fit a lock. It's the nature of keys. It's the nature of locks. Okay? Okay. Another thing we want to look at about keys is they have to be exact. You know that. They have to be absolutely exact. We talked about that in terms of your car key or my car key. And God set the pattern, and he put the tumblers in there. And that key that I place in that has got to be exact with the tumblers in that lock. That's why the study, that's why each and every one of us study our Bibles like we do, to be sure we're not missing the mark on something. That's what sin is, missing the mark. Missing the mark on something. And we get there with a bunch of keys in our pocket that just won't fit anything that God's dealing with. We don't want that to happen. I certainly know I'm late in life. I'm coming up on 80. Some of you are even got me beat on that. I'm coming up on 80. And it isn't going to be very long before I'm going to need you to use these keys that I have created to open that lock we're talking about. Okay? So that's what we're talking about this morning. Now, every ordinance, every commandment, every law God gave requires some kind of an action that goes with it. It's the nature of it. Okay? God has given the commandment. He looks at the ordinance, or he looks at my work, my keeping of that, and he knows whether or not that fits that. Okay? Now, there's another book there that's mentioned in that reading. We didn't read the verse that has it in there, but it's the Book of Life. It has those names in it that God knows has those works. Their lives still fit that key. One of the interesting questions you can go into in the Bible is when were our names put in that Book of Life? You and I would probably see that a little bit differently. It doesn't matter. But we see that a little bit differently. I think they were put in there before time began. But nonetheless, what we're looking at, as we look at it, we realize that what we're talking about throughout the New Testament, we can see somebody's name may be taken out of it, but I never see anybody's name put in it. Christ said to the apostles, "You be glad your names are in it," but I never see anybody's name taken out of it. But that's the same thing. That book is trying to illustrate what we've already been talking about and the nature of keys. And that's what you and I need to understand about keys. I want to take one other illustration, in case any of you have not become Christians yet. And think about standing before God, and I want to go back. One of the first keys that you want to put in place is you have been baptized properly before the Father. So I want you to go back with me just a second to John 3. John 3. And that's what Christ and John are talking about here. They use the phrase being born again, but you're going to notice in this reading he mentions water and the Spirit. That's baptism. I'm going to go to John 3, and I'm going to go down to verse 3 and read through 6. Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Cannot see it. And Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Can you imagine if you're of an age that you are going to be accountable to your Father, your Heavenly Father, standing before him without that key in place? He told you would never, unless you do that, you can never see it. Every Christian knows that has got to be part of their life. One of the critical points in their life when they became a Christian, and they kept that. In Colossians 2, I just want to read you that little, I love that little verse because of what it says. It's talking about baptism too. Colossians 2, and I'm going to go down to verse 12. buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. When you were baptized, when every Christian was baptized, they went through an operation which God carried them through that had to do with him. A remarkable thing. That's why he's saying what he's saying about you'll never see the kingdom of God unless you go through that operation, unless you go through that. Become my child. It's critically important. I thank you for your attention. And if there's anyone here this morning, anyone, this is one of those things it's not real pleasant to talk about because it's so serious. But if there's anyone who hasn't been baptized, who needs to, that is a key in your life before you stand before your Savior. And we don't know how many days we have left. As you stand before your Savior, that needs to be in your life. If that's not there, you need to place it there through the actions that you take. There may be others that have become careless about God's Word, not realizing that what it says is what it means, and that's what I will be held to. And God is no respecter of person. And that means he will not overlook it for anyone. We're all going to have to meet those things that God laid down. And our lives will have to be keys that fit those portals. Thank you very much. Let's all stand. All the things